Good evening and welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is jazz, blues, pop song stylist Suede. Suede knew early on that she wanted to make singing her life. She had her first bar gigs while still in high school. She was completely self-taught until her college years when she studied voice and trumpet. Suede has been described as a little bit Rat Pack, a little bit Rosemary Clooney, and a cross between Ella Fitzgerald and Bette Midler. She founded her own music label, Easily Suede Music, in 1988 and has produced 5 CDs, including her newly released collection, Dangerous Mood, which features her own unique take on jazz, blues, and pop standards. I'm talking to Suede by phone from her home in Wellfleet, Massachusetts. Suede, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be asked.
Now, you knew early on that you wanted to be a singer, but what attracted you as a teenager to jazz and blues?
Well, it's kind of interesting. Both my parents actually had lots of jazz and blues playing the whole time I was growing up. And in fact, my dad was also a huge Dixieland fan, so that certainly had an influence on my ending up with trumpet, no doubt. But I always heard that music and loved it and just really connected with it. But when I was young and in my teen years and playing, I was playing much more folk and rock and roll and just played everything, loved everything. And, of course, with my trumpet, I was playing a lot of classical Baroque-type stuff. But the jazz blues thing was always there for me, but it's something that I approached more directly later on in life. It's sort of maybe matured into it, interestingly.
Mm-hmm. Now, it says on your biography that you had your first gigs when you were in high school. What kind of stuff were you singing as a high school student?
Oh, I was doing a lot of Peter, Paul, and Mary and Joni Mitchell and people like that, James Taylor, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Went through a very clear sort of a political time in my life and my style. Did a lot of political rallies and things like that. And like I say, I think in terms of my singing and my song styling, there definitely was the influence of jazz in terms of phrasing, in terms of my enunciation of words. But the sorts of gigs I was playing, I was doing, you know, local bar gigs. I did a lot of street performing and just sort of set out my guitar case. It was great graduate studies. I always thought of it as my graduate studies, actually.
No, but you did decide shortly thereafter to begin formal training for your voice and for trumpet. What made you decide to seek some formal training?
Well, I'd known my entire life that I wanted to be a musician. It was very, very clear to me from very early on, and it was just a matter of figuring out how to do that. And I think I more sort of fell into it out of a should, because I was completely self-taught until I got to college.
Mm-hmm.
And then college is one way that I knew I could get out of the family's house. God love them, but I know people know what I'm saying. So I went off and auditioned all over the place and got some great music scholarships at a Lutheran college in Iowa. I sort of fell into it like, well, now you probably should start taking lessons. And I will also say I was a terrible student. I was completely resistant to suddenly having people trying to tell me how to do what I had been doing all my life and something that was so, so intimate to me.
Now, did you feel like you needed to take voice training in order to save your voice in some ways and use it properly?
It never really occurred to me that way until my junior year of college, when I was incredibly fortunate to land on the student list with a teacher named Dr. Larson, Dr. C.R. Larson, and I still learn from him. I can hear his coaching in performances I do to this day, especially if I've been on the road for a long time and my voice and my body are tired. Yeah, but no, until I ended up working with him, I never really got the distinction that there were very clearly things that you could do that would take better care of your voice and allow you to do more with it as an instrument. And I have always considered my voice my first instrument.
It is indeed. Now, how did you get attracted to the trumpet? That seems like such an unusual instrument, especially for a woman.
Well, especially at that time.
Yes.
Because I'm in my 50s now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There, I said it, and you may put it on the air.
I was going to say, I wasn't going to bring that up, Suede. All great jazz blues singers are in their 50s, aren't they?
Well, you know, I really think there's something to be said for living a certain amount of life and just having a certain amount of life experience to call upon. As a singer, as a jazz singer, and certainly with the sorts of songs that jazz singers usually sing about, and blues, certainly.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but I skipped over the trumpet story.
Yeah, tell us the trumpet story.
When I was a little kid, it became evident very early on that I could play just about any instrument somebody put in front of me. I always was really fascinated by them. And my dad happened to have an old Army-issue bugle for some reason. He didn't play. I have no idea why he had it. It was some sort of souvenir. And so he just sort of handed it to me and said, "What can you do with this?" And before you know it, I was blowing taps in the backyard. So fast forward a bit to sixth grade, I think it was. I was sitting in my social studies class, and the band director came to the doorway of the classroom and said, "Suede, come to your audition for band." Well, this was the first I'd heard of it, but I saw it as a chance to get out of social studies, so I jumped up. He gave me all of the various instruments and said, "You know, you're one of those kids who could play anything you want to. What do you want to play?" And I said, "Drums."
Really?
Yes. And he said, "We have too many drummers." And I said, and my second choice was really kind of the unusual one. I wanted to play the French horn. And he said, "Well, oddly, we have too many French horn players this year." And I said, "What do you need?" And he said, "We need trumpets." I said, "Okay."
That's how you got into it.
And
huh?
That's it.
So it was a process of elimination.
Yeah.
Now, at what point did you decide it was time to record your first CD? And did you simultaneously form your own label to do that? Or how did that work?
When I started making my living, when I took the initial leap into making my living with music full-time, I'd actually been working at a record store in the Washington, D.C. area, and it turned out I was very, very good at sales and kept getting promoted. And when the parent company decided to put me on the track to get my own store, I said, "You know, it's time to jump off this bus." I didn't want to continue getting comfortable with a steady paycheck and, you know, the day gig sort of safety net. I went in the day after they offered me a store and gave my 2-week notice and went out that afternoon with my guitar in hand and went up to a club in Baltimore and auditioned to play there, got the job, and was hired to start Friday night, and off we went.
Wow, that's amazing.
I just knew I had to do it. I had one of those moments where I just thought, if I don't do this right now, before I know it, I'm going to be sitting on the front porch doing a shoulda, coulda, woulda. So I just had to take the leap. It wasn't even an option for me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've gotten totally sidelined and forgot your initial question.
Well, my initial question was, when did you decide that you wanted to record your first CD, and did you simultaneously start a label in order to do that?
I did not simultaneously. Well, I applied to lots of different labels and management and booking agencies, as I have continued to do in the 25 years I've been privileged to make my living, and couldn't get signed by anybody.
Mm.
Still. 25 years later, I've just, I know a lot of people in the industry and have certainly met a lot of people in 25 years and touring nationally and internationally. And for some reason, it just sort of seemed to me it was just in the stars that I had to end up doing it myself. But when I could not initially get signed by a label, I thought, I just want to get this recording done. The first one was titled Easily Suede,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Spelled like my name, of course, and which I named on a dare, and so named the company that also. I had a very, very dear friend who actually was born in Ithaca.
Really?
Who dared me. She was a rabid punster, and she dared me to name the first record Easily Suede, and she was sure I wouldn't, and so, of course, I had to.
You are a daredevil, and it works out for you.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Excellent point.
Now, Suede, I want to play an excerpt from your new CD, and the CD is called Dangerous Mood, and I want to play the title song. This song begins with the most amazing sax solo. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
It's not only is it an amazing sax solo, but it's on the tenor sax. And anybody who knows wind instruments at all, and especially saxes, tenor saxes are much known to be a much lower register instrument. And my lead tenor sax player named Mark Momas just wailed on that, didn't he?
Oh, he did.
It's totally dangerous. It's amazing.
And then let's listen to a little bit of it.
Great.
Darling, I'm in a dangerous mood. Look out, darling, I'm in a dangerous mood. I just called up the boss man, told him where to go and what to do. You call me crazy, I just did what I had to do. You can call me crazy, to steal a little time, babe, so I could spend it all on you.
Wow, and I just think your voice is so seductive. It's unbelievable.
Oh, thank you.
You know what I want to ask you, though? What ingredient does a song need for you to be attracted to it? To tell us some of the ingredients that have to be to capture you.
The only thing that would really come off as any sort of a consistent formula for me is there has to be something in it that just really grabs me on a very, very deep level. So that could be the message in the lyric. It could be the chord changes in the tune itself. It could be the various turns that the melody takes. It doesn't have to be a particular style. You compare something like the tune Emily Remembers from On the Day We Met, which is probably falls more easily into sort of a folk ballad.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to play an excerpt from that a little bit later in the show, yes.
Excellent. You compare that to something like Dangerous Mood, which is about the other end of the spectrum. Dangerous Mood, I love because it's so playful, it's really flirty, it gives me a chance to really use my voice in that scat solo. So I can't be any more specific than that, except that just the song has to have some sort of an element that just really speaks to me.
Yeah, I can see that in the things that you choose. Now, I've seen you perform live on a couple of occasions, and you're very funny. Have you ever thought about going into musical comedy?
That's so interesting. You're the third person this week that's asked me that.
Time to take another leap, Suede.
I should be paying attention to this.
but you must have thought about it, no?
I considered it, but I never really pursued it up to this point. Because running my own company and my own label and doing everything that it means to be able to do that has certainly kept me busy enough. But I probably would really love it. I did a little bit of acting in high school and college and loved it. people have suggested, you know, did you ever consider doing stand-up comedy? Because humor is absolutely an element of the live show.
I can attest to that, yes.
And I always sort of responded, well, it would be a lot less to carry, that's for sure.
Now, I also want to bring up the fact that you have an extremely devoted fan base, especially a lot of women. Now, are fans an important part of your life as a performer?
Fans are what it's all about for me, and I have said many, many times, and absolutely mean it with my entire being, especially given the rejection that I have consistently received from the music industry. The only reason I have this incredibly privileged life and the opportunity to be living my childhood dreams is because of my amazing fan base. There are people who continue to come see me that I went to high school with in Annapolis, Maryland. It's astounding to me. And every time they show up, they bring between 6 to 10 new people who've never heard me before. So I'm very present to the fact that the reason I get to have this life is because of my fans.
Mm-hmm.
Very grateful.
Now, I've talked to several other performers who have independent labels like Holly Near and Janice Ian. And are you pleased now that you decided to do that? Because they talk about how they have total control over their careers because of that.
Yeah. It's a tremendous amount of work, and I actually know Janice and Holly, and I'm sure that they would agree with me that if we had been given the opportunity to have people who would put the kind of energy into our careers that we have, it would be great to have somebody else doing all of that stuff. But ultimately, and perhaps ironically, the state that the music industry is in now, when so many people who have been attached to big labels are now going independent, there's a lot of benefit to doing that. I've had complete artistic control over where I play, who I work with, what I wear, what I sing. I wouldn't have traded it. I wouldn't trade it. I don't think so.
And are you still trying to be signed by labels, or have you given up on that at this point?
Again, I would love to have a great team in place for the promotion, for the touring, for the all of the business aspects. And I'm keeping the door open for sure, but it's got to be the right people. And especially after 25 years, I've worked too hard to establish what I have been able to create with my own company, to do it less than the best way possible.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, my guest is the delightful Suede. She's a jazz, blues, pop song stylist. Now Suede, I want to play an excerpt from a song on your 2001 CD that we mentioned before. The CD's called On the Day We Met, and this is called Emily Remembers. Tell us a little about this.
Oh, that's there's a great story about that song. I often play on Olivia Cruises, which is a private chartered cruise company, and not a tough gig at all, trust me. and one of the things I love most about doing those trips is that I'm together with people, with the same people, for an entire week, which is very unusual in a touring musician's life.
Mm.
So you have a chance to sit down and share stories with people and connect with them personally, more so than you do when you're on stage. And I met a couple of women on that particular trip, and one of them had early onset Alzheimer's, and her partner was with her. And to meet the two of them and be so present to this extraordinary, truly unconditional love that I experienced with them, I came away from the trip wanting to tell their story in the world in a bigger way. And as kismet would have it, a friend of mine who lives in Canada sent me a copy of Shirley Eckhard's CD with the song Emily Remembers on it. Shirley Eckhard is also the woman who wrote Bonnie Raitt's hit Let's Give Him Something to Talk About. And here this song just drops in my lap after I'd had this experience on that trip. It was really phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the most touching songs I've heard about Alzheimer's. And let's listen to a little bit of it.
Great.
family remembers the dances at her high school when she was young and carefree some 40 years ago. Emily remembers standing on the bleachers cheering for the home team, her hair all wet with snow. But she forgets today is her birthday. And if it's Tuesday, she's not sure. She forgets to comb her hair out. I remember it for her.
Wow, that song is so powerful to me. And I did hear you sing it live, too, here. And then there wasn't a dry eye in the house, really.
You know, I've been singing it. It's one of those tunes. There are a few tunes that it's not really an option for me not to put them in the show, no matter where I go. And it's such a powerful song. It's just every single time it's performed, it really really touches something very deep in people.
Mm-hmm. Now you seem to be able to weave so easily between those body blues and pop. Which fits you the best? Who is Suede? Are you the body blues person or what?
I'm absolutely both. I'm both and everything in between. You know, I'm a big old Sagittarius and my moon's in Scorpio, so that explains a lot of it, I think.
Part wild woman and Now, are there rituals that you go through before you perform?
Yes. There are definitely things that I do to warm up, not only physically and vocally in terms of breathing and everything, but definitely centering. I just sort of like clear everything out of the space and create a huge, huge opening, and I get very, very grounded so that when I go out and step on stage, it's like, look out, she's here.
Uh-huh. And I've seen that entrance before, Suede. People better look out when you enter. Now, when you weren't performing, do you have other interests, or are you always practicing and working on your craft?
I've always sort of felt that I don't practice nearly as much as I probably should. And in fact, my siblings, who are also very musical, always got, you know, a little ticked off at me because they were like, you don't even practice. You just get up there and you can do it. Well, I can't help it. I live on beautiful Cape Cod. I love to be out on the water. I was also a serious tennis player the whole time I was growing up, and if I wasn't going to be a musician, I probably really would have pursued playing tennis professionally.
Really?
Billie Jean King was one of my... there are very few people I really consider heroes and idols in my life, and Billie Jean King was one of them, and I was thrilled to be able to meet her several years ago, and she's now a fan, which completely blows me away.
How
and
wonderful.
I said, you know, I was going to be a tennis player if I wasn't going to be a singer. And she said, I wanted to be a musician if I wasn't going to be a tennis player. So we were connected for life.
Now, Suede, before we run out of time, I want to play another excerpt from the new CD, Dangerous Mood. And let's listen to New Coat of Paint, the great Tom Waits song.
Oh, great.
Thank you. put a new coat of paint on this lonesome old town. Set him up, we'll be knocking him down. You wear a dress, baby, I'll wear a tie. We'll laugh at that old bloodshot moon in that burgundy sky. Scribbled love dreams, lost or thrown away. Here amidst the shuffle of an overflowing day. Love needs a transfusion, let's shoot it full of wine. Fishing for a good time starts with throwing in your line.
Now, what attracted you to that song? Your voice is absolutely stunning in it, by the way.
Thank you. It's one of those great, I have a real penchant for those great, like, smoky, bluesy tunes, and I love the turn in the lyrics. My favorite line in the song is, how does it go? About throwing the fishing line in the water. Oh, I'm spacing on it. This is great.
But that speaks to you somehow, huh? Like the feeling of freedom?
Oh, the feeling of freedom and the feeling of new coat of paint. Let's go, you know, let's go, you know, how else can we go out and play? Let's go out and play. And to record with William Gallison on the blues harp was just phenomenal. He's been on several gigs with me since, and he's just such a great player. He added this whole smoky, deep, bluesy feel to it that it was just great fun, especially doing a little echoing back and forth with the trumpet, because that's me on the trumpet.
I know it is. That's why I wanted to play that. I wanted people to see this whole array of suede talent. Now, we only have about a minute and a half left. Do you believe as a performer that your main duty is to entertain, or do you also want people to walk away with something learned from you?
Well, I would hope that both always happen in any performance. I never kind of go into a performance thinking, oh, I'm going to bestow my wisdom upon you. But hopefully they will walk out having learned something about themselves or others or that they didn't see coming, and do it in an environment where they feel completely entertained.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you give some contact information in case people want to order your CDs or talk to you? And I do recommend people get her CDs. She's just amazing. Can you give us some contact information, Suede?
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Tish. The website, which is the best way to find me, of course, is suedewave.com, and that's Suede, S-U-E-D-E, W-A-V-E. Suedewave.com. And they could also use the toll-free number, which is 1-888-783-3312.
Okay. Well, Suede, it has been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a great treat for me, too, Tish. Thanks so much.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. We are supported in part by the Arts of the Southern Finger Lakes in Corning, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. We'll be back next week. I'm Tish Perlman.